I believe today's teaching was carefully carved and designed by God's Spirit to provoke our thoughts, deepen our understanding. And of course, once our understanding is deepened, it's going to further strengthen our convictions. Then, we are going to be very firm in the things that we do. So, the reasons why many people are not firm in the things that they do is that their convictions are not firm. And so, it goes a long way into making them fall off with anything that they do. For example, if somebody who has a firm conviction that, sorry to say, you don't come from a very rich home, maybe you come from a very poor home, and the person is convicted that I come from a poor home, that's a conviction. You need to be convicted that you come from a poor home. Then the reasons why my parents sent me to school is to study. Because of the person's understanding of the condition and conviction of the condition, the person goes to school and studies very hard. Because there is an understanding why you should study. Not many people know why they should study. Not many people know why they should take certain decisions, because they don't have an understanding. And eventually, they are not able to stand steadfast. So, the reasons why I teach this intentionally, will I say I? Not I. I believe God's Spirit leads us to look at this. It's because He wants us very sure in the things that we do. And normally the questions are the whys. Why do you do this? Why do you do this? Why is this church like this? Why does God tell us to do this? Why does, you know, the church uphold some of these disciplines? And of course, within the context of a local assembly, you find out that believers engage in so many practices without understanding why. Say, why do you pray? My mother said prayer is good, so I should pray. The devil will scatter. So the only reason why you find somebody pray is because they somebody somehow think the devil is going to like scatter them. But you see that prayer goes beyond that. So the moment this person leaves the shores of Ghana, where it's believed that there are many demons, because Ghana is in Africa, so there are a lot of demons in Africa. But the moment the person leaves to Canada, the person says, yeah. When you wake up, the person's laugher, you know, the person's tonation first changes. Yeah. When you wake up, you're praying. Yeah, we don't pray. We go to work. See, the system is working. The economy is working. So the person doesn't understand the reason why you should pray. The person thinks the reason why you pray is because you want to make money. But that's not the entire reason for prayer. So once we get understanding, we can be fruitful in every activity that God wants us to partake anywhere. Right? Yeah. So evangelism, worship, fellowship, giving. No depth of understanding, you are going to give up all these things pretty soon. Pretty soon. Because once you start making money, you will not have need to even consult God on anything. Once you feel like, yeah, now, the only thing you wanted was scholarship. You had the scholarship. You are done with God. You go back to everything that you used to do. And that's very wrong. So, Paul actually calls that tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It's like you're not stable. You hear something today, it moves you. You hear another thing tomorrow, it moves you. You hear someone teach something, Refi? Meanwhile, the person is teaching on a lot of stars. I met somebody who was telling me some in-depth revelation. Myself, I was scared, very scared. Because the person was relating it to marine, something, you know. You stand somewhere, you pray, you stand somewhere, you do one, two, you mix something with something, you swallow. I know of, you know, some prophetic people who have certain interesting things. You, if you do this, you do this, you do this, at this time, your eyes will open more. I'm like, I don't know any of these things. So when you don't have understanding, you're in trouble. Big trouble. Very soon you're going to give up some very important disciplines that are required for your growth and your sustenance in your walk with God. Interestingly, the reason why I don't want to call what we're having, you know, give a title to it exactly, is because I have also been seeing something like that for a while, you know. So in my visions, in my experiences, in my dreams, I kept on seeing people gathering. You know, I saw gathering in circles, gathering in rooms, gathering in smaller rooms, gathering in much larger rooms. So I'm like, God, for a couple of days now, you've just been showing me people in circles, they are gathering. The last interesting one I saw was a bush, and there were people who were gathered in a circle, and they were praying. No, the last one I saw was actually 2 days ago. People gathered in a room, in a house, in a room, and they were gathered. So I kept on wondering, you know, God's trying to say something, and I believe I'm going to teach us along those lanes, right? So we can appreciate why we gather and the essence of gatherings. So I believe this teaching is going to further push us, you know, in God's plan as a local assembly, and it's going to push us into taking our gatherings more seriously, ensuring others gather, right? And then also ensuring that we become gatherers of people, not in church only, right? I mean, the last one I had was someone's call yesterday where the person tells me, "Ah, Pastor, please, I just thought to tell you, we're preaching here, and Pastor, please, the numbers cannot go into the room, so can we look for another space where we can gather?" I said, "Ah, you again." Then I have to just teach it. So I was like, okay, so I'm going to put it together by God's grace as the Lord helps me articulate what he wants us to do. And I'm going to help us understand. Like I said, if you don't understand why, you're just going to say, "Oh, if I want, I'll go. If I don't want, I won't go." You look at the weather. If it do you to go, the weather do you to go, you just go. The weather no do you, you no go. Say, "Why didn't you go?" Say, "The weather no do, the weather no good. We all want to be under the blanket, right? But then we are here. How many of us would have loved to be under the blanket?" Oh, just be sincere. Be truthful to yourself. You would have wanted to be quelled. Quelled in and just, you know, sip some warm cinnamon tea. But we are all here, right? That's because we have some understanding. But today I'm going to further deepen this understanding. And some of you are thinking, "Okay, that's a social person. Or these people are social people. They like church. Or me, I don't really..." Let me tell you something. I can tell you for free. When I was in school, if I forget, God should forgive me, but there was no social gathering I attended. Yes, you won't find me. Like a social, like maybe Aquaba Night, Gospel Rock Show is Christian, so. Right? Even my, what do you call it, my dinner, my pharmacy dinner. I didn't go for anything like that. You will not even see me there. Because if you see me there, they will say that, "Hey, Prof, nah, I swear." You know? And I had, you know, my roommates were loud boys. Like, they were in every party. I can give you the name of one. I think, this boy, I can't mention their names. Go if they are watching. Oh, you can sit down. So I forget, God should forgive me. But the reason why I remember was that when I was in 400, somebody told me that, "I've never seen you I've never seen you at a place like that. Yeah. So I never attended any like very social gatherings. So we are not in quote social, like, no, I mean social in a negative sense. We are social in the way a man will explain social, right? But in a negative sense where it's like you chilling, chilling, huh? Like every party you are there, you know yourself. Huh? Every party, so loco, you be there. You know, one of the funny things is when we go for church on Sunday, and you know, sometimes I have people who tell me things. They say, hey, na kwewe pani itchin and run. It means that the person was in the soloku the Saturday. You know, and normally the parties are Saturday. Yeah, so Saturday evening. Uh-huh. Then it affects the Sunday. There were even some parties when it happens, the Sunday meeting is a bit distorted because the people who go for those parties are in the thing. Pent whole week, no jinim. But when we come and we teach some of these things, you say that we are trying to box you into a community, forcefully put you into a community. Yeah. So we're going to be having a conversation around this. Like I said, it's going to be pastoral. So I'll just take my time and we'll look at, you know, gatherings, why we gather. And even from a human standpoint of view, it is tested and very much proving that gatherings are important to us as humans without bringing any biblical text in the conversation. Now, I'll read to you four researches that I summarized or put together to help us kick off this conversation from a more human standpoint of view, from a more social standpoint of view. Then we'll look at God's word actually, and then why he wants us to gather as a local assembly. Are you with me, church? All right, so the first one we're going to read today, this morning, is going to be from the Harvard Study of Adult Development. And it says that one of the longest running studies on human flourishing is the Harvard Study of Adult Development, which has followed participants for more than 80 years. Then it now says, in a summary, good relationships as a result of social connections and gatherings are among the strongest predictors of happiness, health, and longevity. It says that people with strong social connections tended to live longer, healthier, and more satisfying lives than those who were socially isolated. That's our first research in summary. Now, second research by Julian Holt Lundstedt found out that loneliness without social connections and gatherings increases health risk. Research by Julian found that chronic loneliness and social isolation significantly increases the risk of premature sicknesses and death. Her meta-analysis involving hundreds of thousands of participants concluded that social isolation harms health. Strong relationships improve survival rates. Loneliness can be as damaging as several well-known health risks. Factors. Our third one, research from Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, found that numerous studies have examined the effects of attending worship services and participating in faith communities. Research from the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health found that regular attendance at religious services was associated with lower risk of depression, greater social support, increased sense of purpose, lower levels of loneliness, greater volunteerism and community involvement. Religious gatherings provide both spiritual engagement and social connectedness, two factors strongly associated with well-being. Now, fourth and final one from the World Health Organization. The World Health Organization has repeatedly highlighted social connections as an important determinant of health. Studies associate social isolation with depression, anxiety, cognitive decline, heart disease, and reduced life expectancy. In summary, humans, I told you if I catch you sleeping, human beings were designed for relationship, community, and gathering. While seasons of solitude have value, people generally do not thrive in prolonged isolations. Meaningful gatherings contribute to emotional health, resilience, purpose, and overall well-being. Now, I remember one time I went out with a couple of the boys. I don't think I had done that in a while. And one of them made me really laugh. I've not laughed in, you know, I really laughed. You know, that laughter where you can laugh. You can laugh again. That was how I was laughing. You know, I really laughed. If there was no one watching, I would have laughed, sat on the floor, you know, just laughed because it was just so funny. So I remember so well that after I finished that intense laughter, you know, normally I pay attention to my body. I pay attention to what my body is telling me and I pay attention to what my body is trying to say. I said, this feels really good. Yeah. In a few minutes after, I said, it really feels good. You know, it's almost like it's an unexplainable feeling. So then I remembered that, you know, Solomon makes reference to laughter being medicine. I said, that's really true. You know, I don't mean like laughter. No, I'm talking about the kind of laughter that you just laugh. You know, and that's what God's giving us in the local assembly. So when I watch Kenneth Hagin's services and I see people laughing, sitting on the floor laughing, I said, these people don't know. Their life expectancy is longer. He died when he was 86 years old. And his services were full of joy. Many of the times full of joy, full of laughter. Everybody's laughing. But so when I finished laughing, I said, my body was trying to tell me, you have not done this in a very, very long time. Now you can laugh like, no, I'm not talking about that kind of laugh. No, it was intensive because I laughed. Look, I laughed, couldn't control the laughter. I laughed, sat on the floor. I mean, I couldn't sit on the floor, but if I could, I would have, you know. And afterwards, after we left the place, you know, there's some laughter you can laugh. Any saliva comes out of them. You don't have control over any of your members. So we sat in the car and I felt really good. I said, what is going on? What's my body trying to tell me that you have not laughed this intensive in a while? So I realized that, it was very important. That's when I started to pay attention to laughter. From then I knew there was something about it because my body attested to it. Go ahead and laugh. But this time, it's laughter in the Holy Ghost. Yes, just laugh off all your problems, all your difficulties and your challenges.
Somebody saying, why are you laughing? No, why are you laughing? Huh? Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? You know? You know? Oh my God. My goodness, you know what I got? So I realized, oh, that was true, you know. Yeah. You know, life can put you through a difficult situation. Eh? You know, but sometimes what you just have to do, you just have to laugh. That's all. That's just all. You know, that's all. You can find yourself at a spot you are thinking you will never come out again. In those times, just relax. And just laugh. Like, what is man? What is man at all? You know, just laugh. You know, just laugh. You don't need a comedy joke. So I realized that was so much of a blessing. My last story before we get into it was that, you know, Bishop Dark shares a story where, you know, in his time, where he was a medical student. And then somebody had committed suicide amongst their fraternity. And so that was the time they were starting the church for the early times where the church was being started. You know, but they had already gone to report them that they were making noise with their drums and making noise with their shouts and making noise with their singing, making noise with their instruments and disturbing people on their doors and calling them for church and all of these things. You know, so the dean at that time, after it was quite a number of petitions from other students who didn't like the fact that the church was meeting, right? And so there were a lot of complaints from the students. And a few days later, the person had committed suicide. And there was a dismissal letter given to all of the complaints, and the church was told to be even much stronger. Yes, because the students needed Jesus Christ. So what I'm going to teach you this morning, what we're going to look at, is very key. So that brings us into like a good consensus that across many disciplines, researchers repeatedly arrive at a similar conclusions. Human beings are not designed to thrive in isolation. Not designed. And these gatherings provide belonging, identity, emotional support, shared meanings, community, social cohesions. And it is so important. How many of you realize that football matches, you know, people travel to go watch football matches? Because the gathering is where the importance is. Why would there be match centers? Because the feeling is different when you are at a match center. When you are watching it in your home with Coke, it's nice. But then when you are at the match center, the feeling is different. The euphoria is different. You find out that, you know, even with football, there's a shared meaning. There's a reason why people gather to watch the match, or they go to the center to watch the match, because gatherings are very important. You find out wedding ceremonies, right? People gather to witness, you know, the bringing together, holy matrimony of two people. People gather to celebrate what is being done and what is happening to people. Yeah. Weddings. You don't go for wedding and see. As for me, I settled it in my heart that I'll have a lot of enemies because I've not gone for weddings. Saturday I'm at evangelism. How will I go? Yeah, so, you know, people gather to witness people's holy matrimonies, funerals, are gatherings. So you see that for every gathering, there is a purpose for gathering. There's a reason why people gather, right? There's a reason why people gather. There's a reason why people gather. When you have somebody doing their wedding, you gather because you want to experience what the person is going through. You want to know what is happening. You want to be there with them through it all. Right? Gatherings, funerals. We gather to experience the funerals, the burying of people that mean so much to us. I remember a couple of weeks back, I had to go for a dear sister's funeral. And I said, no, I had to be there. Why do you think I had to be there? Because it was a gathering that meant so much to me. And I somehow had to go. I couldn't say I was not going to go. National celebrations, gatherings, political rallies and campaigns, gatherings. And there's a reason why people gather. Reason why people gather. People don't just gather because they just want to gather. No, there's a reason why people gather. And normally missing out on these gatherings can bring a lot of confusion. Do you see that? Yeah. They can bring a lot of confusion. They can bring a lot of problems and a lot of issues. Right? Yeah. There are some relationships who can never be the same or who have never been the same because you missed something. Wedding, funeral, something. Party. Somebody's 40th year party. You didn't go. And then it becomes a very serious problem because gatherings, yes, they have benefits to you. They also mean something to the one to whom you gather for. So people are at loggerheads. How many of us have lost certain relationships because of gatherings? You were not in the gathering. Oh, then you are good people. You always go for every. It's like the relationship was not the same. Yeah. You couldn't go. You couldn't go for the person's wedding. You couldn't attend the person's naming ceremony. First child, only child. You couldn't go. And the person sees you and is like, Charlie, you couldn't come for my gathering. So there's nothing that we share in common. So you see that gatherings are very essential. And when we look down on gatherings, we look down on the people to whom we gather for, or the person to whom we gather onto. So when somebody is having their whatever and you're not able to be there, you're not able to be present, it socially means something. It means something. It means something. I've had to say, you know, because of this, you have to please bear with me. I may not be able to come. But probably another time, after everything has happened, I'll find time and really come home again. Because if you just walk out of it, it's not good. That's how man puts a lot of premium on gatherings. God does the same too as well. He does the same too as well. Look at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to read together as a church. Now we're gradually exiting, you know, the social prospects of gatherings. We're getting right into God's word now. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, can we read together as a church? And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should live alone. I will make him an helpmeet. So you see that God is saying that it is not good that man should thrive in isolation. It's not good for man to live alone. It's not good for man to live alone. It's not good for man to be alone. Loneliness is not something that God creates man to function in. Not good. And like I said, don't forget what I said. These gatherings are unto one or unto a purpose. Holy matrimony of Opoku and this is the reason why we gather is because of that person. Political rally, NDC rally at Adenta. And that's why we gather. We gather because we want to be able to experience what the person is trying to say. Hear what the person has to say. And we do that with other people. We're doing that with other people. We're not doing that alone. We're doing that with other people. So God creates man to be alongside with other men as well. He creates man to function with other men. Gatherings unto birthday parties. The gathering is unto one. It's for a purpose. The reason why we gather is for a purpose. And like I said, the moment we do not honor these gatherings, there is going to be a serious problem. The gatherings are unto one. You know, it was said that Michael Jackson, one of his shows, he gathered 4.4 million people. That gathering is unto MJ, unto his talent and to his skill. We gather because we want to experience something. So every time there's a gathering unto one. That's what happens. There's a gathering unto one. There's a gathering for a purpose. How many of us have gathered? And then the reason why we gather is, and another person, one hour. And then that's all we do. No, whenever we gather, there's a reason why we gather. There's a purpose for our gathering. There's somebody being the reason why we gather. So not placing premium on this gathering or these gatherings will mean that we do not place premium on the one to whom we gather for. So there is the reason why we come to church. There is one to whom we have honor for. There is one to whom we have great reverence for. And his wedding ceremony is depending on the structure of your local church. Not all wedding ceremonies are the same, you see. Some wedding ceremonies, they start Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 days. Some also say, no, we will not do Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We'll do only Saturday. Recently, I saw one Sunday, but not recently. Then quite recently, I saw one Thursday. That one, they don't want anyone to come. Shout. You're at your work, then they'll say, we have wedded. Right? Birthday party. Instead of you should do it at every time. In the morning, 7 a.m. in the morning. You take your own pictures and you share them. Right? So you see that the reasons why any gathering will stand is because of one. So the reasons why we'll go is because of one. I remember my cousin was passing out from, I mean, Zelo 2 years ago, 3 years ago. He was passing out from somewhere, and boy, you know, my mom called me, asking, you have to really go. I said, you have to go. I said, okay. So then she gave me the date. So the day came, I was there. I said, Lord, this gathering is on to this guy. So I took some books. I was there with my auntie and then someone. Right. So while I was there, I opened the book and I began to read the book. I was reading the book and I was reading the book. So she turned and she looked at me and she said, hey, that's why you are here, but you are not. Right. So I was there because I needed to make sure that the person saw that I came for the gathering. Like I'm at the gathering. So while the person was marching, I was saying, yay, wow, wonderful. Then afterwards, I saw him. I said, oh, it's good to see you. He said, hey, it's good to see you. I said, hey, man, you have done well, though. I said, I've really done well. He was looking all black and all of that. A doctor that's looking black like that. I've not seen some before. And I said, you are not baffling. He said, hey, here, we don't baffle. So I was there in the gathering. I was right there because I wanted to honor my mom and I wanted to also honor him as well. So I had to make my way to the gathering. And that's how important these gatherings are. They are unto another. They are unto another. So whenever we gather as a local assembly, we gather unto one. That's the reason why we gather. And unto who do we gather? Unto who? Unto God. Unto Jesus. We gather because we gather unto Him. Right? We gather unto Him. The gathering is unto one. Is unto one. Is unto one. Is unto one that we believe that is mightier than all. Is unto our Lord. That's why we place premium on His gathering, which we call a church gathering. You know, many times we feel like when you have time, then you come. That's very dishonorable. Imagine if somebody's event, birthday, rally, anything, the person tells you, oh, please, my birthday is on this date. Then you say, no, change your birthday. I'll be free on this day. Like, madam, how do I change my birthday? If I could change my birthday, I would have changed my birthday. But there's no way I can change my birthday. So you say, change your birthday. I'll see whether I can make it for your birthday. The birthday is on 18th April. And you are saying we should change it to 21st April. But the birthday is on 18th April. So if I have honor for the person, I'm going to find some time, right? And be there despite my busy schedule. Despite my busy schedule. So these gatherings are unto one. They are unto one. They are unto one. The gathering is unto one. The gathering is unto one. The gathering is unto one. We gather because of one. Because we place some premium on Him. We place some premium on Him. That's why whenever you feel like, yeah, I'll choose this gathering. No, this one is not mine. Oh yeah, I'll be here. This one is, it's like telling God, I'm going to choose which of the gatherings means so much to me. This is what you're telling God. You decide when you come in and when you go out. We come in at any time because we don't place a lot of premium on the gathering. Some of us come in council. After everything is done, then we just slide in. It just shows how much we don't place a lot of premium on this person whom we say we gather for. So it's not choosing which one you will do and which one you wouldn't do. What you feel like doing, when you feel like going, when you don't feel like going. There's nothing like that. So, our gatherings, which are church gatherings, is what I'm coming to, is unto our God. Unto our God. If you had a passport or a visa interview and it was raining, tell me what you're going to do. Just tell me. In fact, Do you know something? In your mind, the rain doesn't even exist. How many of us believe that? In your mind, the rain does not exist. Like, it is either rain, not or shine, rain or rain. Eh? The normal weather is okay for you, but it's either rain or, let me say, storms. Either rain or storms. You will be there at the place to hold the interview. How many of us will have work interviews and then we call the person and say, you know, you can already see that it's raining, you see? So I want you to postpone my interview to tomorrow. The person will say, okay, I hear you, sir. But we place a lot of premium on these gatherings, on these meetings. Now, a gathering can be 2 or 3. It can be 10. It can be 100. It can be 1,000. It can be 10,000. It doesn't have to be 200 people, 500 people, 1,000, 3,000, 5,000. No, 2 or 3. That's why Jesus tells us that in the midst of 2 or 3, whenever they gather, he is present. Once 2 people have gathered, he's present. Please don't touch my thing. If it's fine, when I tell you it's fine, don't touch it again. So he tells you, 2 or 3 are gathered. He's there. He's right there where the gathering is taking place. So when we place a lot of premium on these gatherings, it means we place premium on the one to whom we gather onto. How many of us get up for interviews? We pick our shirts and we wear it very nice. In fact, we iron it the previous day. The night into the interview, you iron it beautifully. Your tie is there. Your shoe is well polished. So that when you wake up, you can have an easy access into the meeting of one who you believe will be able to give you a job. So you do that intentionally. And you place some premium on those gatherings, those meetings, those assemblies, because you believe that the person will be able to help. But then it comes to God. And we cross our feet. Why are you forcing me to come to church? Church, is it every day you must go to church? Is it every day you must go to class? You know, it's not every day I can come to church. I can watch it online. Online. Why don't you write your in-person exam online? Sit down and tell this with the administration that you want to write the paper that everybody is walking in the rain to. They should give it to you at your home because the school is for you. And the dean is your uncle. The assistant dean is your father's best friend. Huh? Is that what you do? So why is it that when it pertains a gathering of God, we now have our own terms and conditions applied to our showing up? We have terms and conditions applied. Oh, it's too much and I can't do this. I can't do that. The gatherings are too many. We can't make it. Every day, church, 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 church. But you go to your offices 1,000 times more than you go to church. You are more at your offices than in church. That's why I'm afraid for some people who are very reckless mouth people in their offices. Because I'm afraid you will hear things continually that it overshadows the voice of your pastor. That's just what happens. The influences there are much stronger. You go there every single day. You spend 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours at work. If you have a gossiper, before you realize you know how to gossip. You have a slanderer, before you realize if you're not careful, you slander. They start perpetuating churches like this. Churches, these churches that have come. These churches that are like this. These churches that are like that. This church. Before you realize, you are beginning to believe what they are saying. It is not you. It's because there is a gathering. And that is what gatherings do. They strengthen out convictions. They do something to you, knowingly or unknowingly. You know, I've really realized that you really post your pastor a lot. Is it not too much? So, I've never seen it in that light, you know.
You need to have a mind on your own. That's your boss talking to you. You need to have a mind on your own. You know, in life, you can't follow these church things. You can't follow this Bible. Have a mind on your own. Don't be controllable. You should have a mind. Think for yourself. And that thing suddenly sparks up a thought. What happened? A gathering. Two. People have gathered. People have gathered. Hey, spirit, every day we are seeing. Hey, are you the only one? At least the party that, you know, come some. You see, you won't drink any vodka, you won't drink any Smirnoff. Just sit down. Just be there. And the party is like 2 months after. So 2 months, they are convincing you for the party. Ha. Before you realize, you are at the party. You are the party. Some of you are falling in love recklessly at your workplace because the person, you see the person every day. You see the person every day. So you like the person. Every day. If you like, you start talking to someone every day, seeing them every day, flowing with them every day. There's a chance, a possibility. Because, yes. So you are falling in love before you say, they don't want us to. You see, Pastor and his doctrine. Pastor and his doctrine. So, you know, they come to say, Pastor. No, they discuss it amongst themselves. Pastor and his doctrine. Hey. So is pastor saying that? Hey. What is pastor saying? Hey, me, I'm not saying anything. I'm just teaching you Bible. Huh? Because of gatherings. You can easily fornicate because of gatherings. Yeah. Two people in a room. So avoid those gatherings. Avoid those gatherings. I was going to say two or three, but I said two. Hey, you people. There's two people in a room. Gatherings. and a great fall. Great is the fall. Great is the fall. So come and take pizza. You know, I'll just give you, let's watch a movie together, you know. That's because you never paid key importance or look to a gathering. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to move quickly. Genesis chapter 1. Verses 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So man is created in Genesis 1:27. Now look at Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. To 18. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou shalt eat thou shalt surely die. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet. So a communion by God is emphasized for man's proper living. Do we see that? Now look at Genesis chapter 3 verse 8 to 9. In verse 8 to 9 actually, God comes in and he is mirroring regular fellowship with man before the fall of man. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 8 to 9. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So you see that God is pointing to us something that he had with man. He will come there regularly to fellowship with man, right? But this time around, he comes and something that he told them not to do is broken. So they're trying to hide from that
regular fellowship. They're trying to run away. They're trying to break that relationship that they had with God. Now, these three scriptures, or these three verses from the beginning, teaches us that God created man, emphasizes that man needs communion, and then number three, that communion or fellowship is to with him, is to be with him. Do we get it? So he will gather them. He will talk to them. Moses didn't tell us what he spoke to them about, but then there's a constant communication. There's a constant fellowship that God had with the people. Look at something in Exodus 19. We're going to lay some good emphasis and we're going to see it clearly. You know, on the Sunday, I'll tell you the story later. Exodus 19. Exodus 19. Exodus 19. And we're going to read from verse 10. Are you a verse 10? Exodus 19, verse 10. And the Lord God said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today, and tomorrow let them wash their clothes. Can we read congregationally? And be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. So what is the Lord going to do? He's going to come down in the sight of all the world. The people. Now look at verse 17. We are seeing a gathering, right? And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with who? God. And they stood at the neither part of the mount. Is that a gathering? So he brought forth the people out of the camp. He gathered them together. Then he brings them out of the camp, right? And look at what happened. Verse 18. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked. Verse 19. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. So we can see that these tremendous things are happening when the people decide to what? To gather. The people decide to gather. So the Lord comes down to have a visible experience showing himself. And it's in a gathering. It's in a gathering. It's in a gathering. Now, this gathering is unto who? It's unto God. We're still moving on a few verses. Go to Deuteronomy. What I'm teaching, is it clear to everybody? Okay. We're just trying to see how that gatherings are important to God. Why? We gather. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 10. Look at what is being said. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 10. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 10. Can we read together? Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, what did the Lord say? Gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days. Do you see that? The New King James Version says, gather the people unto me. Who has that? New King James, right? So God is saying that the gathering is going to be unto myself. It's not going to be because the people just want to gather. No, the gathering is unto me. Gather the people. Gather the people. Who is the gathering going to be? When they ask, why are you people gathering? You say, we gather in the name of the Lord. We are gathering because the Lord wants us gathering. So God is saying that when they gather, number one, they will hear his words. They will hear his words. They will also learn to fear him as they gather. They will learn to fear him as they gather. And they shall live upon the earth, thus they will have longevity of life, and they will be able to teach their children to also fear the Lord. Do we see that? So whenever we gather, like we see in Deuteronomy, he says, the gathering is unto myself. Now, many of you think that the teaching of God's word is something you choose to listen to or not. No, no. It's something that God purposefully sets in the gathering. It's in the gathering. So when you sleep, you are dishonoring the one to whom you gather for. Because he didn't gather you to sleep. He didn't gather you to press your phones. You know, I've had people have allegations with the church because that church, they don't allow people to press their phone. We're not coming again. Our phone, we press our phone. We want to press our phone. What do you tell them? We are sorry. Put your phone on DND. When you come to church, put your phone on DND. Imagine if everybody's phone was ringing in the auditorium. Imagine the pandemonium, the confusion is going to come. And you, that your ringtone is not good because you are still becoming more born again. You're giving us some Sarkodie rhythms at the back there. I can hear someone's ringtone right now in my ears. You're giving us, and everybody's phone is ringing. Will that help our worship of God? No. You urinate 3 times in the service. Only you. If everybody was urinating like you. Just imagine. Everybody goes out every 20 minutes like you do. What the service is going to be like. Everybody comes in late. 20 minutes, 30 minutes into the service, like you do. Imagine what's going to happen to the service. Everybody is sleeping like you do. Like you sleep to wake up when the service is closed. In fact, I'll just be standing here and be saying, people of God, fear God. Please wake up. Fear God. Don't sleep. Everybody's doing what you do. You know, one time someone asked me, I don't know if someone asked me or I was answering somebody. The person said, I want to dye my hair red. I want to dye my this red. I said, okay. Imagine everybody in the church goes to dye. Me too, I'm going to dye my hair. You're going to have callus. Not a problem with callus. We don't have a problem with callus because you're all in different colors. But why would you think of dyeing your hair red? What is wrong? Like what? You like red, isn't it? You like red. Okay, we understand. We understand. Because me, I don't understand. I'm trying to. Like yellow gown. Imagine my red's a very yellow, green, indigo. And then we are all mixed up in the service. They say, allow me. Say, why? We should allow you to do what? Allow me to come in at any time. I mean, you know, there was a church where people got angry because at a particular time they locked the church door. And people were rioting. In fact, that church, you can't even riot, so you just find another church. Me, I remember JHS. I used to be in a hurry Because assembly time, there was one master, if he gets you, the way he will lash you. But many times we don't place a lot of premium on these gatherings. We don't place a lot of premium on gatherings. We don't place a lot of premium on church gatherings. We don't. We treat it like it does not matter. There's no reason why we gather. Oh, it's not anything. But look at the mighty thing that's happening in Exodus chapter 19 as the people gathered unto our God. And what is happening? He is showing himself strong in the people, amongst the people. In Deuteronomy 4 verse 10, they gather and he says they will hear his voice. They will learn to fear the Lord and they will be able to teach their future generations. They'll be able to teach their future generations. Not stay online. Huh? Not stay online. They should send you the link. Some of you are watching me. Some of you are watching me. You should have been in church. You chose online. Huh? They are waiting for media. Say, hey, media, they should drop the link. Pastor, they don't drop the link early. I've had people tell me that, Pastor, they don't drop the link early. Now, there are times where legitimately, like, there's something seriously happening. It's only once. Your whole whatever, it should just be once, twice, once. Something seriously. But you should be there. You should be in the service. That's how you place a lot of premium on what God is doing. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Verse 10. And the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone, written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount of the midst of the fire. In what day? In the day of the assembly. Not in the day where we choose to stay at home. In the day of the assembly. The Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of fire. In the day of assembly. Let me tell you something. God is very big on gatherings. Let no man lie to you that he doesn't care. He's very loud on gatherings. Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, verses 11. To 13. When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Verse 12, can we read together? 1, 2, go. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of the law. Do you see that? Everyone should gather. Men should gather. Women should gather. Children should gather. Strangers should gather. Everyone that is within the gates must gather. They will learn to fear the Lord. They will learn to hear his word. They will observe to do all the words of the law. All the words of the law. All the words of the law. Joshua, it's the next book, 24. Joshua 24. Joshua 24, verses number 1. Have you seen why you shouldn't stay in your rooms? Yeah. The Lord places premium on these gatherings. That's why he tells them to gather. I've shown you gather in Genesis. I've shown you gather in Deuteronomy. I've shown you gather in Exodus. I'm now showing you gather in Joshua. It's key to him. And this is like his major way of getting to execute what he intends to do. It's a major way. He says, gather. This time it's not a wedding. It's a gathering unto him. No. It's not a funeral unto one. It's a gathering unto him. And it's a command. Gather. Gather. That's what he said. He says, gather. Be in the gathering. Gather. Now, when we gather and we encourage others to the gathering, are we fulfilling the will of God? Yes. You know, there are people listening to me right, the people are listening to me right now. I was talking to someone and the person told me that, you know, sometimes you can be going for a gathering and you see another believer who is not going for the gathering and it's like you don't really care. That's very wrong. Since you know this gathering is unto our God, you want to make sure that you are there yourself and anybody that needs to be there is also what? Is also there. So that's why he's literally telling all of these people to gather, because there's something he wants to do. It means when you don't gather, you don't hear his teachings. You don't hear his teachings, you will not observe his law. You don't observe his law, you will not live according to his law, or your future generations are not going to be affected by what you know. Because you do not gather and you refuse to gather. So in Joshua 24, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Do you see that? So when we gather here, what are we doing also? We're presenting ourselves before what? Before God in that holy gathering. In that holy gathering, we are presenting ourselves before God. It's like saying, how many of us genuinely have been to people's ceremonies? And we are very loud because we want the people to just see that we came. The moment they see that we came, off we go. I'll say the truth now. Speak the truth. The truth. Uh-huh. It's like you are there. Hey! The person says, hello! Hi! The person should just see that you came. And how of us, after maybe we are in the meeting, but the person didn't see us, but we take a picture to show. Because if we don't take a picture, maybe the person will not see that we honored the person's invitation, or we were not there. So we take a picture to show, or we wait for the picture session. So that when the person is taking the picture, we also go, hey, that's all. We just wanted to know we came. That's all. So we take the picture, then we are gone. It's because we want to make you know that we honor you. We love you. We cherish your presence in our lives. That's why we show up. That's why we are there. That's why we are present. I'm telling you, if you see me at your event, I have a lot of honor for you. And it's either I have a lot of honor, or I really care about you, or I really think about you. Because for me to, you don't know, for me to be at your, to be seated there, I have a lot of things. I have books to read. I have prayers. If I show you my prayer schedule, and why I should scrape off my prayer schedule, then have time for you, talk to you, advise you, be there in the gathering, see to it that your gathering, I was sitting there. It means I have a lot of respect for you. I must have a lot of respect for you. If I show you my personal itinerary, like what I do in a day, it doesn't even give me the opportunity to be there at where you want me to be. But if you see me there, it means that I really care. I really care about you. So in the same way, when we despise God, when we don't take him seriously, it's like we don't show up. He means nothing to us. We miss services, all the services. And I'm talking about all the services. Now, whether online or offline, because the online too are online services as well. It's a gathering, but it's just that we do that to help something that is happening. Yeah, online. 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 So you don't pick what services you choose, because those gatherings are unto him. And you encourage other people to be in the gathering because you have honor for the one to whom you gather unto. Yes. You make sure people are in the gathering because his law is going to be taught. They are going to be taught to observe. Their future generations are going to be imparted. Their lives are going to be changed. I'm not the one saying it. The word of God is saying it. That's what God's word is saying. That's what God is saying. So we observe the gatherings. We observe the gatherings. There's a manner that we respond to his gatherings. We come in dressed decently. I'm not saying dressed wealthily. We're dressed decently. There's a decency to your look in that gathering, because you honor the one to whom you gather onto. You honor him. You place a lot of premium on him. You participate in the gathering because you honor the one to whom you've gathered onto. Yeah. So, as we gather, we present ourselves to God. And when we encourage others to gather, those are also our presents unto God. Are you listening? So when you are coming alone, there's no present unto him. There's no one you inspire to gather because of him. Do you know that there are, I know you know, there are event organizers and event planners who get people, who gather people, and you have to pay them. Of course, there are people who will make your events very good. If you have an event, you give them tickets, they'll go around and say, Charlie, you forcome the program, oh Charlie, the program go be, oh Charlie, the program. Why? It's because they want to have something to present for what they are paid for. So, what are your presents onto the gathering? Some of us even come, we don't even bring offering. We just coins. Coins. 20 pesos, you just check your something. Gather 20 pesos, you come to the gathering. Because nobody will know what you put in the gathering. Huh? You must begin to fear God. That's what he's saying. We'll fear God. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're going to fear God. We'll have fear for God. We're going to fear God. It's like everything that we do in the gathering is going to be fear unto our God. Reverence unto the one to whom we gather for. 20 pesos, 20 pesos. 10 pesos, 10 pesos, 50 pesos, because nobody will see. Lift up hands, you won't lift. I mean, not you, but the you that you are here. Rejoice. There is one to whom we gather unto. We make presents. We present ourselves. This is us, all the people you created. We are gathered because of you. This is us. Feeble as we are men. But we are gathered because of you. You are the reason why we are here. This is why we are here. Lord, we are here again. Oh, we are lifting up our hands again. The week has ended. We are still alive. We are here. As the word of God is still taught. Ah, we have honor for your word. That's why we don't sleep. We don't become distracted in our focus. Our minds wandering everywhere. Sometimes you can be seated and then your mind is wandering, is passing. No, you bring it back to the service. Because there is one to whom you gather onto. There's one to whom you gather onto. You're preparing for the service. You are in the service. You sit in the bus and it takes you an hour and 30 minutes to be here. But you are seated. The gathering is unto you. Is unto you. You are the reason why we gather. You are the reason why we gather. So, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Maybe next week. When you see in hostels and you gather people in their rooms, what are you saying? It's unto you, O God, that we gather. When we have multiple gathering centers, your hostel being one, where a cell or a teaching, whatever is happening there, prayer service, a prayer center, whatever it is that's happening, it's unto you, O God, that we gather. You're the reason why we gather. And we know that these gatherings are unto you. So these are more than just gatherings. They mean something very supernatural. Yes. That's why the prophet speaks about people not gathering. They will not gather. And if they gather for your sake, they will be scattered. Because there are different types of gathering unto several purposes for which the gathering stand. And every tongue that shall rise up against you, you will condemn. You are condemning a gathering of people who gather to take counsel against you and against the Lord and against His anointed. You are scattering that gathering because that gathering can produce an effect. Yeah. You know, one time I got up, something had happened and I got so furious. And I just went to pray. I said, Lord, whoever that was responsible for this, their gatherings from today, I scatter. Yes. Their covens, I send fire. It's one of the few times where he pushed me to the wall. Your gatherings will not hold. Your gatherings will not hold. Against the church, it will not hold. Where you gather, when you gather, there will be shakings and earthquakings there. It will not hold. Because those gatherings are not unto our God. They are not unto God. They are not unto our God. Yeah, they're not unto our God. So why do you scatter those gatherings? But then you are not taking seriously the gathering that establishes the purpose of God for your life. Yeah. I said, my angels, leave me now. Everywhere must be scattered. Yeah. I see scatterings. Yes. And then, take your seats, further gatherings. that are of God. Further gatherings. Further gatherings. Further gatherings. So you see that in Joshua 21, they presented themselves before God. So gatherings are means of saying, we present ourselves to you. We present ourselves to you. When you come to church, it's presenting yourself before God. Presenting ourselves before God. So God is big on gatherings. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah is a few books away. You are almost there. Nehemiah chapter 8. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord God had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear, with understanding upon the first day and seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. They gathered themselves together. And they did this as one. As one. So your meetings. Listen, gatherings are God's plan. They are also part. Because, I mean, why did he save you? Tell me. After you are saved, what's next? So don't you think that gathering is part of his plan for your life? Or he just saved you, that was all. No, he saves you, then he gives you instructions on that saving. And gatherings are one of them. Gatherings are one of them. So when we see gatherings as, oh, I've missed. I'm not there. I'm there. I'm not there. Tomorrow I'm not there. I'm there. I'm not there. I'm there. I'm there. I'm there. I'm not 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 there. I'm there. I'm not there. I'm there. I'm there. I'm not there. I'm there. God is saying, you are dishonoring me completely. You're dishonoring me completely. You know, one time. No, let me not share with you this. It's quite personal. So, in fact, there's a point where Jesus is lamenting over Jerusalem because they refuse to gather. Look at Matthew 23. Matthew. Can we go to Matthew 23? Kalabashatakapa. Matthew 23, verses what? 37. And we're going to read together slowly. Waiting for you to be there. One. To go. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you will not. He says, how often would I have gathered your children together? I want often gatherings, but you will not. So it's almost like God calling for an assembly, And we are saying, no, I have something to do, something better to do. No. My boss, my job. Is your boss bigger than God? Your boss is not bigger than God. And your job is also not bigger than God. God is calling you. You say your boss is calling you. Huh? God is calling you. You say your boss is calling you. Who is your boss before God? God is calling you. You say contract is calling you. Say, Pastor, I'll just be away for 5 months. 5 months, no church. 1 month, Seth. You're going to be as disrespectful. One service, Seth. One. Look, when you miss a service, eh? Look, when you are really born again. Sorry to say. But, you know, you can't miss a service. You know, I was speaking to someone and I told the person, you know, the person was telling me that, you know, they had given this opportunity and that had happened. And I said, okay, so what are you going to do about it? She said, no, I can't miss a service. I knew that was somebody that knew God. She said, no, I can't miss a service. I can't think about it of being absent for a service. Because it's like your father calling for a family meeting and you were not present. And meanwhile, he tells you, do not forsake that meeting. He has already told you. I'm going to show you that. Hebrews 10:25. He tells you, do not forsake the assembly of the gathering of saints. As some have that manner of doing that. Some have a manner of doing that. Then he tells you, do not. They say, oh, I really have to be away. Away for what? That's God's gathering. See, I want you to be able to put some premium on his gathering. Are you listening? Don't treat it like anybody else who does not have understanding as you have been taught. You must place premium on his gathering. When you don't gather, when you are not part of the gathering, you should feel like something is wrong. And something is actually very seriously wrong. When you don't gather, it's like God has called you, you say, I won't come. That's literally what you say. God calls for a meeting and you say, no, I won't go. 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 God says, gather. He said, no, I won't gather. Come to church. No, I won't come. Okay, come, but participate. No, I'll come, but I won't participate. Okay, come, participate. Okay, I'll come. I will participate. But I will leave 2 hours before the service. Because my uncle says I should come and pick Kobe. My uncle says I should come and pick Kobe from Ladenta. Pastor, please, I just want to inform you. My uncle said 12:30, I should meet him at here so I can pick Kobe at Ladenta. Pastor, it's something that if I don't take now, I can never take. See, let it go. Are you listening? You're going to honor God's gathering. And it has to be very settled in your heart. I have to leave. Why? I mean, some of you are there, you write exams on Sunday. That's when you can't do anything about it. It's quite static. But there are things you can decide to be in the service. Nothing will happen, but you will still make up your mind that you are going to honor that particular thing. Yeah. Or you honor that particular thing. I know people who fly from places to come for their friends' birthday parties. Yeah, they fly. Yeah, I know someone, maybe the person is watching me, she's watching, she flew for a wedding. I said, why are you here again? Pastor, my friend's wedding. You flew all the way, paid your plane ticket, and you flew into Ghana to attend a wedding, you flew back. But you let the person, let me say that. I'm not talking about the person's person. When I said there is a service, I want everybody from everywhere to come. Pastor, you know, my job, you know, Pastor. Pastor, it's really difficult. Yeah. There's a service here. Fly and come. So, Pastor, we can watch online. Why didn't you watch the wedding on online? Why didn't you watch the wedding online? And some of us are bridesmaids and those things, so we have to be there. But you don't know that you are God's bride, actually. Like, God is having a wedding, you are not there. Like, he's having his wedding, like, the groom is there, but the bride is nowhere to be found. Like, he's looking for you, where's my bride? My bride is not there. We come to check on you, you have slept. You say, why didn't you come to church? Pastor, I slept. You slept. Would you sleep on your wedding day? God should help you to sleep on your wedding day. In Jesus' name. Oh. You say, Pastor, it's not possible because my bridesmaid will wake me up. God should let all your bridesmaids sleep. Pastor, my mother, including your mother. All of you should sleep. The wedding is at 10. You wake up by 4:30. You will not sleep. Huh? God should help you to forget. Huh? Forget your exams. Your last 400 level exam to completing, you sleep and pass. You are entering the hall, they are on the last line to collecting the end of the papers. Say, yay! My God! What has happened to me? Say, why are you not here? I overslept, you know? I overslept, sir. Sir, I overslept, sir. Sir, I overslept, sir. Say, why did you oversleep? Sir, I overlent, sir. Hey. So, when we put a lot of premium, you're alive. You are up. Like, it rings the first 2 seconds, you're already up. Basandi, you snooze and snooze and snooze and snooze. Snooze. That's what you do. Snooze on Sunday. Some of you, they have to even be gone. Sister, so-and-so, how many people knocked on people's door today? Sister, so-and-so, please, can you come to church? Oh, we are going to church. Person comes on. Please, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I overslept, you know. I overslept. Because we don't have respect. We don't place any honor for God. We don't see God as important in our lives. But that is changing. Because we're learning to place some premium on God. Yeah. You go for that interview. Top-notch interview, maybe at a petroleum company. Right? You sit there for 2-3 hours. You went there 8 o'clock. 8, 9, 10, 11 o'clock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock. The interview has not started. You don't complain. You don't do pimp. These people are funny. The secretary comes out and says, hey, you're still here. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Oh, they should take their time. I'll be available anytime. I'll be available. We said the interview, you know, we told you that the interview was today. You've been sitting for 4 hours, but then, unfortunately the interview has been postponed. So, we want you to go back and come back on Wednesday. Yes, please. It's not a problem at all. It's not a problem. It's not, but I'll be there. I'll be there. What time? 9 a.m. Oh, I'll be here by 7. I'll be here by 7. I'll be here by 7. The next time you get in there, you say, 7, you are there, 8, 9, 10, 11. Do you get up and say, hey, you people, you don't stick according to your time, and you make me come and sit here all this while, one job you give me? Is that what you do? Okay, that's what you do. Look, you told me that. Hey. You know those people say, you said the service will start at 10, to close by 2. 2:15, we are still here. We are sorry. But you see, we have a lot of love for these things. That's why we have a lot of respect for them. Your boss can speak his mind to you. Left, right, center. Yes, please, sir. Right away, sir. Then you come, then the usher says, please, Mark, can you sit here? Say, why are you telling me where to sit? That's how we don't place premium. We forsake the gathering. Your boss calls you. You say, Pastor, please, my boss is calling. And Pastor will say, pick your boss. Then you are standing before your boss, then your pastor calls, then you say, Pastor, please, I missed your call 2 hours ago because I'm standing in front of my boss. You see, we place a lot of premium. Your boss, you can't excuse. I mean, your pastor, you can't excuse, but your boss, you can't excuse. You can't excuse. Don't say that it's being extreme. That's what it is. I'm telling you, that's what it is. I was caught up somewhere on Sunday, the Sunday where it rained. I was caught up somewhere, so I couldn't go. The next morning was when we were now going. So while it was raining, I picked my phone, looked. They said everywhere was flooded. So me, I was thinking that from where we're going to, where we were going to, where we're coming from to where we're going to, the road was going to be free. Like we're just going to be going. So I turned and I said, is today the flood day or... You know, it's today, like today, is it Monday? Because the rain is falling. And I was in the rain. Huh? I couldn't believe the traffic. To an extent where people were now putting informations that this particular place is, a tree has fallen. There's an electrical pole that has what. But the road was stuck with traffic. You know, there was a part we passed there. I saw it on the news. I thought the place, that there would be nobody. Cars, endless. They said don't come, but you are going. Don't come, but you are going. Interior minister put up a communique telling you to stay at home. Still, they will still be going. I'm not exaggerating. There was traffic from where I was coming from. Down. So I said, so these people, they won't stay at home. They don't like their lives. They risk it. They risk their lives. Me, I had to be going home. Maybe other people too had to be going to work. But I believe it was because it was a Monday morning. Some of you, your bosses don't take no. For not being in it at work. Yes, some of you, your bosses don't take no. How many of us, everything your boss say yes? Everything he says yes. Yeah, Monday you say, my boss, please, it's raining. He said, please. Come to work. Come to work. Huh? If I was a boss, I would almost be like that kind of a boss. It's because people don't like to come to work. Unless it's raining 2 days. Huh? The story of Noah must have been really true, you know. I thought about it. I was like, hey, it must be really. Because it didn't even fall for 24 hours. The place was... If it falls for 3 days, we are all in trouble. I'm gathering still. So I found people trafficking. Huh? Aside all of these things to honor gatherings, work gatherings, sometimes social gatherings, sometimes an appointment. Maybe there's an important appointment. There's a meeting with someone and then the person makes it there. But I was actually really amazed because there was real traffic. I'm not talking about, there was real traffic. Yeah. And we're going to place such premium on God, his meetings as well. Are you listening? Don't let anybody tell you are gathering too much. No. You're going to place some emphasis, some important. It's like this thing is very dear to me. I told us there are things we will experience single-handedly. But we'll experience them on a much greater level if we can put a lot of premium on our gatherings. You know, there's shared joy in atmospheres. These are things that are not taught, but it happens. There's shared joy in our midst. When we gather, there's the Holy Ghost shared in our midst. There's that congregational sharing of so many verities in our midst when we gather. So it's so important that we gather. And don't forget, we cause other people to gather as well. How many of us were excited about Alpha Hour filling up the stadium? I was very excited. I said, Lord, that's a good thing to see. And I was very glad. And you know, that makes a statement, right? It makes a statement that God is gathering his people. And that's a beautiful scene. Rather than seeing somebody else gather. You thought I was going to mention, I did not mention it. Seeing some other people gather. Some other people, you say, hey, this person gathered. What was that gathering onto? What was that gathering onto? The reasons why you must go out your way. Listen, the reason why we must fill this place, fill up the whatever spaces on the side, is because we must begin to see that importance, that whenever we gather, it's in God's plan. Are you listening? God wants us to gather. God wants us to be together. God wants us to gather. And that gathering should be unto him. It should be unto him. If you are driving and your car is empty, you should ask yourself what you are doing. Yeah. Why are you not coming in with a bus? Why are you not coming in with an Uber? Why are you not mobilizing people for the gathering that is unto our God? Why are you not doing these things? Why are you not participating in making sure that people gather? I see us placing a lot of premium on gatherings from now. It will not just be church. Like, oh, church, whenever. Whenever, wherever. Oh, it's just when you want. Oh, it's just. You know, when you have a good cloth. The time you have a good cloth, that's when you want to come to church. Where your clothes are old, you don't feel like coming to church. Because your cloth is now old. No. We're going to put some premium on gatherings. Are you listening? We're going to put some premium on gatherings. We're going to wake up early. Get our disciples in the meeting. We're doing this unto our God, unto our God, unto our God. And when we gather, we'll have hearts changed. Yes. We'll have hearts changed. When you gather people in your hostel, do you know what you do? You dispel darkness, because that's what gatherings also do. You see that certain manipulations in certain spaces are going to be hindered because of certain gatherings. That's what happens when we gather. That's what happens when we gather. If a whole nation gathers to pray, look what tremendous power is going to be produced in that nation. That one person that prays. Not that one person praying is not effective. But there's just something that happens when people gather unto our God and in his name. So from now, as we get into the teachings next week, I'm going to show it to you. Next week, I'll show it to you. How that you're going to start to see and to place premium. To be there in the gathering and to make sure that people gather in the gathering. Like, yours is just going to make sure that people gather. Mine is to make sure that people gather. And it's unto our God. It's unto our God. Remember, when we gather, we present ourselves to him. It means when we cause other people to gather, we present ourselves and we present other people unto him. And that is his will and that is his plan. Apart from salvation that comes, that we know, one of the things that God sees as important is his gatherings. 2 or 3, 5 or 6, 10 or 15, 20 or 25, 50 or 100, 300 or 3,000. Any kind of a gathering is something that God places a lot of premium on.